Well, good evening, everyone. Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, wherever you are in the world. And welcome in to another episode of The Buddhist Biohacker. My name is Lisa. I am your mystic guide and host, as always. And welcome back in. We were here this morning and we're back tonight. And it's the full moon today, full moon in Cancer, if you follow sidereal astrology. And we have another episode of our new program, Diamond Beauties, which I just love so much. I hand-selected a special group of women that I felt represented all the diamond facets of the high heart center, the seat of the soul, that crystalline space. And Lisa Thompson is one of them. Welcome back to the show, Lisa.
Great. Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here with you again. I loved being here last time, so I always appreciate your energy.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you back too. And you're bringing us some island vibes out from Hawaii, which I love as well. And hi, Sarah, welcome in. And for everybody who's joining in the live, as always, you guys can comment, you can share questions if you have questions for Lisa or myself throughout the show. And I'd love to hear how the full moon's treating everybody out there. It's making me feel pretty darn happy. So I want to hear what you guys have going on out there as well. And Lisa, I know you've been on the show before. You were here for the November Awakening, but I really want to start out with you just sharing your story. I just want to hear about who you are and what you do and how you got here and all of that.
Okay. There's a lot to talk about. I originally started as a scientist. I am a big animal geek and I have a passion for animals. And so I actually got my PhD in marine biology, zoology. I'm studying manta rays, stingrays, sharks, things of that nature. And I realized pretty quickly that academic life was not going to fulfill me career-wise. Love the animals still. And now that I live in Hawaii, I get to be around them all the time, but I don't necessarily want to teach college students. So from there, I transitioned to the mortgage industry for 5 years. So I put on that logical side of my brain. And that was just a nice temporary thing, you know, just to get me through life. And that's when I transitioned into my next career. So I'm on career number four. My next career where I, for the last 12 years, have been doing interior design home staging. But in the last 4 years of that, I've been combining my spirituality to underlie it with the design. As well as doing a lot of other things. So I'm a best-selling author, speaker, transformational intuitive coach. I specialize in past life regression therapy and human design. And I help my clients create sacred soul space within and around them. So it's all about physical, emotional, and spiritual levels.
My God, I love it. And I've seen some of your pictures of your spaces and they're so beautiful. And I think it's really cool how you mix the inside with the outside. So what are some of the things, I want to hear about this. I want to know, like, what are some of the things you do when you're helping somebody work through their physical space versus the inner space and how they work together?
Okay. Well, first of all, when we're dealing with our lives, and maybe we have something that we want to make better. Physically, we need to declutter our physical space because physical clutter actually creates clutter in the mind and mental chaos. So just naturally getting rid of stuff. And I just moved here a month ago from Washington State to Hawaii. And so I was able to declutter most of my life. You know, it was really a huge transformation. I did not want to bring the old stuff with me. So I chose wisely what was really important to me. I brought that into my new space. So I had a fresh slate, essentially. So that's the first place to start, is decluttering. The next place is looking at what elements do you have in your environment, because environment is stronger than willpower. Environment, the multidimensional environment we live in, affects us psychologically and physiologically. And so, you know, we have all this background noise that we're unaware of. And so when we have too much clutter, or if we have the wrong colors in our space, it might throw us off energetically. if we don't have the right kinds of imagery in our artwork or decor items, it can throw us off energetically. So I'm all about like being very intentional about what you are putting in your space that you're seeing all the time, because it actually does affect you at that deeper inner level. And the other thing, space planning with furniture, and the amount of furniture. So it's amazing what even a few inches can do to the mind in terms of shifting a piece of furniture around. So there are all these little nuances that that most people don't think about when they're, you know, putting together their house or even their office space. And like for me, again, I've been setting up house for this last month, and I have made sure that every single one of my rooms has the energy, the feeling that I want, so that I'm at peace in my home, but I also want my guests, my friends, my family members to be at peace in my house as well.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Now, I know that when I've been through a shift in my energy, I tend to get rid of stuff and clean out. And even when I think I can't get rid of anymore, I totally do. So yeah. How have you seen, like, how many times and what are your thoughts about, like, have you worked with your clients on the internal and then suddenly they want to redo everything? Have you seen that?
Yeah, definitely. Because, so, you know, when we, one of the things that I do with the clients is I help them heal some of their inner wounds, their blockages, their limitations. And when they do that, they're shifting to a whole different part of their brain. Their brain is rewiring, so they're becoming actually a new person. So it makes total sense that then they want the things around them to be different. That makes sense.
Totally. What, do you use feng shui, or what do you do like for space planning? Like, how does that look?
So I am not a traditional feng shui person. I have taken feng shui courses, but I am not one of the like hardcore, you have to have the bells in the corner and all the, you know, that kind of stuff. For me, it's about energy. And I am really good at feeling energy in a space. And so if something is off, I will feel it. I'll shift the things that I think are blocking that energy and just keep moving it and shifting it until energetically it feels good. And so for those of you who might not know how to do that exactly, what I want you to think of is when you're walking through your space, the energy is like a pipeline of water moving through the room. And you can use your body to act as that energy. So if you walk in and, for instance, you walk into the back of a couch, that creates a wall. You can't go any further. And so it's going to block the energy of the room. So you want things to be a little more open. Depending on how your room is, but ideally you have more open space where you have nice walk flow patterns. You don't have things blocking the walkway. You soften your corners. So for instance, let me move this way. I have a plant in this corner and that helps soften the energy of the room because hard corners, sharp corners, actually they energetically feel hard to us. So that's the way that I work with feng shui.
Do you do like remote? So like people can send you photos of their space and then you just help them plan it out?
Yeah, actually I have several clients that I worked with from afar where we get on a Zoom call or we FaceTime and I'm able to help them plan their space, pick out colors. I have one client that I worked with on several projects back in Olympia, and then she moved to Arizona, and then I worked on several projects for her there as well. So I do have ongoing clients that just love the feedback. They like getting the extra help.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, I'm a pretty, because of my, I'm a merchant, like my background is fashion retail. So merchandising was my passion. So I love space and color, but I just, no matter what I do, I feel like there's still too much stuff. So I may have to send you some pictures. I'm like listening to you going, oh, I need to do, I'm sure there's some things I can do that would just make it that much better. What about color? So if you talk about like the corners and things, like what do you see with folks with color?
Okay. So what I love about color is that every color carries a different frequency. and it gives us a different feeling, a different emotion. And so depending on what you want in a space will determine what kind of colors. So there are also colors that can create too much energy or anger. Like if you have too much red, red can cause anger. So because it's highly energetic, you don't want a lot of red in a bedroom where it would make it harder to sleep. But a little bit of red can give some passion to the bedroom if you need to spice up your love life. But things like red, yellow, orange, they're great for kitchen and dining room spaces because they actually increase our metabolism. They're stimulants, conversation stimulants, energy stimulants. So, you know, that's a great space for those kind of colors. Whereas if we want something more peaceful, tranquil, like in a bedroom or a meditation room, then we're going to want to bring in the greens, the blues, the purples, because those are cool, calming colors. And blue and purple are all about spirituality as well. So if you want to create a beautiful meditation space or, you know, just a place where you can really zen out, those are the colors to bring in.
I'm curious. So I'm a turquoise. In fact, no one can ever see it because I'm sitting, but I have a turquoise chair. Can you guys see that?
Love it. My two living room chairs are that teal.
Are they? I just love it so much. What is that color? Is that just your blue spiritual color? Is that, I mean, it's more kind of heart centered probably.
Yeah, it is actually. That's my very favorite color. It's my color and that's my jewelry is that color today. And yeah. If it wasn't too hot, I've got my little shawl thing that's got the color. So why I love that color, it's all about self-love. It's also about speaking from your heart, authentically speaking from your heart. So it's very powerful. Because it has a slight green undertone, there's a healing aspect to it.
That explains a lot. Yeah. I have my turquoise desk chair, but then I have in my living room, I have a turquoise ottoman and all these, it's very turquoise and beige or whatever. And I have a bright yellow chair too that I'm obsessed with and it goes with me everywhere.
Okay. Well, yellow is all about sunshine, joy, happiness.
It's my favorite color. What's your favorite color?
Teal.
Is it teal? Okay. Teal,
yeah. Like I am known. Even though I have a lot of purses, I carry my teal purse everywhere. My room also, you know, I had the opportunity to buy all new furniture. So my former house, I had a teal ottoman and teal curtains. But in this house, I bought two teal chairs and I brought my curtains from my old house. So, and I have teal bar stools in my kitchen.
I love it. Oh, that's so great. Yeah. Turquoise and teal are like the best, but yellow is my favorite color. When I was a little kid, I dreamt of having a bright yellow bedroom. That's all I ever wanted. And one day I'll get that. I still don't have it, but one day, but I just love bright yellow. It's my favorite color ever.
One thing, if you're going to put yellow into a bedroom though, is you want to make it more of the softer butter yellow as opposed to bright sunshine, because too much yellow can actually cause upsettedness and some anger.
That's good to know.
Pops of yellow are the recommendation generally. So like a chair, you know, a pillow, okay. Flowers. But if you're going to do your walls yellow, the soft butter yellow.
Okay. Oh, that's so good to know. Oh my gosh. We could talk about this forever. If you guys have questions out there, throw them out. Cause I really could. I could just sit here and like grill you about colors and things like that. But I want to switch gears to human design because that's really, I've sort of noticed it's a buzzword with my clients. I've noticed a lot of people talking about human design and I actually, what's crazy is I never heard about it till I met you, like at all. Didn't even know it existed. And then I met you and now all these people are talking to me about it. I'm like, what is going on here? So I'm just curious, like explain what human design is so that we all understand it.
Well, and what's funny is, you know, since we've talked about it a little bit on that the first time that we were talking, it's been coming up in my world too. I mean, I do all sorts of things, but a lot of people are like, what is human design? What is it? You know, they like, wow, that's so cool. Or some people already knew about it, but Human design, it's a modality similar to Western astrology. And in fact, it incorporates Western astrology as part of its parameters.
Okay.
So astrology, the I Ching, the Hindu chakra system, Kabbalah tree of life, genetics, and quantum mechanics.
Wow.
It takes all of those things into factor. The person who founded this, his name is Ra Uruhu. He has passed since he basically channeled this information.
Wow.
For a 7 or 8 day period. And just streamed forth through him the algorithms and what it all meant. And so what you get, kind of like with an astrology chart, you get a chart that the layperson is like, what does that say? What does that mean? And so someone like me who does it, or there are lots of books on it, you can start to decipher the different levels of what your chart means. But basically, it's who we were born to be. It's a blueprint for our life.
Hmm. And
specifically in this life. So it does believe in reincarnation. You know, that's part, one of the tenets is part of it. And so you can look at what lessons did you learn to come in for this life? What were your lessons from the last life? It has an element of epigenetics, bringing in stuff from your family line. And so for me, the way that I've used it, so I've been working with human design for 6 or 7 years now. And for me, the most powerful thing that I've gotten out of it, like the most powerful, is understanding my inner authority, how I get to my yes and no. That's true for me, because we have, you know, society, we have our families that have these conditions. They train us, they condition us to be a certain way or think a certain way, or we have the shoulds in our head, and we don't necessarily follow what we're getting our answer to be, our intuition, our true answer that our soul wants us to do. So when we learn how to hear and trust that in our particular way, because there are lots of different ways that people do this through their human design, then when we get a yes and we move forward with it, our life flows so much more easily, smoothly. It's like an inner GPS guiding us. So it doesn't necessarily outline the whole plan of how you're going to get to meet a goal or manifest something. But if you put forth that thought, it will give you step-by-step directions like the GPS.
Oh, that's so cool. So I'm curious. So I'm, as you know, Buddhist biohacker, right? Like I'm all into this, and I've had my genome analysis done, and then I'm doing this work with my lineage and my family tree, you know, purifying that karma and stuff. So I've been on this journey for probably since 2011. So probably a decade. So I'm just so curious, like, what do you look at with the epigenetics piece, and how does that work in? Like, what do you do testing? Like, what do you do?
It's actually, it's part of the chart. And so
okay.
When you get a chart, basically it's a body graph that has 9 energy centers. But then on the side of the graph, there are the heavenly bodies, like in an astrology chart. So you've got your earth, your moon, your sun, you've got all the planets, you've got your north and south nodes. And so we all have a conscious personality side, which is who we actually are in this life. But then on the other side, we have the unconscious side, and that's the epigenetic part. And so basically that tells you what kinds of things you're coming in with just from your family, from your mother, essentially. Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting. So how do they get all the information for this chart? Do you just get birth information, or do you fill something out? Like, what do you do?
Yeah, so actually there are several free websites to print a chart out, which I can give you that in just a moment. But
wow,
all you
need- I'm so analytical, dude. You have no idea. I'm like, how do I analyze myself further than I already have?
Right? There's so many deep levels. So in human design, there are more than 64 levels deep.
Holy cow.
can garner from this. And so it's a big rabbit hole. Once you get started, you're like, oh, I need more, more. So all you need is your birth date, your birth time, and your birth location, and you can create a chart. Now, I taught a class last week on human design, and I'm getting ready to teach a 4-week class on it. But for people who, for the class last week, they were like, okay, what if I don't know my birthday? Because a lot of people, including my husband, they don't know what time they were born, and his parents are deceased. So he hasn't ordered his, you know, his birth certificate to find out. And so the safest thing to do is just to do noon as your time of birth if you do not know what your time of birth is. But the more exact that you can be, the better. But it's really only at those much deeper levels where that birth time comes into effect. You know, the shallower levels, there are only a few days in the year where there might be some huge changes on that particular day. And that's different every year. But yeah, so noon would be a good time.
Okay. And so you said you can print these out. Oh my gosh, I want to do this so bad now. I'm so curious.
For those of you, the website that's that I find easy to use is human, and I just pulled it up on my computer. It's humandesignamerica.com/chart.
Okay, I'm going to plug that in into the comments. So www.humandesignamerica. Okay.
.com/chart.
Okay, I put it in the comments, and I'll also put it in the show notes for those of you on audio.
Okay.
Awesome. Oh my God, I love it.
So that particular website, so basically you'll get a chart, but it won't tell you what it means, but at least you'll have somewhere to start. And again, there are different ways to find out what it means. So I can do chart readings. There are like online, you can pay to have that done as well on, I think, their website. There are numerous books that give information. There's probably even Google information as well. But knowing what your type is, so whether you are a manifester, a generator, a manifesting generator, a projector, or a reflector, that's the first level.
Okay.
And then what the strategies are with that, and then knowing your inner authority. So like for me, I'm sacral authority. What that means is that, and I'm a generator, so what that means is that I get a gut feeling with my yes and no, and it's instant. I have access. Like if people ask me yes, no questions, then I can get to that gut answer immediately. And what if I get a yes, then I know absolutely that is right for me. And then I take action.
God, so that's only two layers. You said there's 64.
Yeah, because it pulls in the I Ching, and then we have the astrology with it. I mean, there's like, it's deep. And
oh
whether
my God.
Whether your energy centers, so within the body graph, there are, you'll see 9 energy centers, which are the Hindu chakra system plus 2 additional centers. And some of them are colored in, some of them are white. And so that's a whole nother level of information to work with.
Wow.
And to give you one example of that. So we have an emotional our solar plexus, our emotional center, where if that is open, like it is for me, what that means is it's not that we don't have emotions, but we don't our neutral zone is not being emotional. But when someone else is with us that is going through their emotions, we are sponges for that. Essentially being an empath in that way of like feeling the emotions. And so if what I've learned now with that is that how many years of my life I took on other people's stuff that wasn't even mine. And so now that I'm aware that, okay, yes, I have this open emotional center, but I need to protect myself or I need to tease apart. Is that really how I'm feeling? Or is that what someone else is feeling? And in particular, my kids and my husband, I feel them more than they feel themselves. I'm like, ooh, is this how you're feeling right now? And they're like, yeah, how do you know? And I'm like, because I can feel it. And so each of the different energy centers, the 9 energy centers, whether it's the white undefined or if it's defined and colored, means something.
Wow, that's so cool. So what do you do? How in the world? Like, so when I throw cards, I use 64 cards when I lay out my cards for a reading, and it's just my own spread. It's my own deal. So I lay them all out. So I'm just curious, because sometimes I lay out, the point is, I guess the context was to say that when I lay out all my cards, it's like, whoa, there's so much information. It's like, where do we go first? And how do you do with that with the chart? Like, that's got to be a ton of information about a person. Like, where do you even start?
Well, that's, yeah, exactly. Well, so again, the type, so that the 5 types that I talked about, that's the first level. The inner authority would be the next level. Then you can look at the life themes, which it will tell you. You can look at the profiles. There are 12 different kinds, 12 different profiles. You can look at what gate the sun is in, because that's 70% of our personality. So many different aspects. There is a hierarchy of when I work with clients of, you know, let's say we do a 1-hour chart reading. There's a hierarchy of information. That client. However, if they're coming to me with a specific issue, like a communication issue or love issue, then we can look at different parts of the chart to figure out like specific answers to questions that might come up.
Okay.
One thing that's really cool though, just as an aside, because I didn't know this until I had my chart done, but in my human design chart, I specifically have a channel that is for interior design. So like I was naturally born to be talented in this area.
Wow. Oh, that's cool.
So it shows us our gifts, our talents, our strengths. And the beautiful thing about human design is that, you know, every chart's a little bit different because everyone's got a little bit of a different, you know, birthday time, things that are going on planetarily when they're arriving. And, when we come together with other people, our chart changes. So for instance, you have a chart, I have a chart. And when we come together, we create a third chart.
Mm. So
we activate different things in each other that aren't there otherwise.
And oh my gosh.
That's also like why you can immediately be like, oh my God, I love you. You know, we have so much in common, or, you know, we just get along, we click together.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, oh yeah, that's not good.
Yeah. Oh my God. We could do a whole show on human design, 'cause it's just so fast. I just think there's so much, it's so quantum what we come into this world with to do what we came here to do, like to even begin to grasp how we plan this all out just blows my mind sometimes. Doesn't it to you too?
Absolutely. The cool thing is I was kind of born and I chose my mother, I think, to give me access to this kind of information because she was an astrologer when I was growing up. And so I was just around it naturally. It wasn't something, some barrier, like people who grew up in a church where they have to get over that barrier to then get this kind of information. So it was just like, nope, I'm choosing you and I'm going to be on this metaphysical path, you know, my whole life.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's so cool. Well, I could talk about this for hours, but I am going to switch over to your book because I want you to share, I know you did in November, but I just want you to share a little bit about what you wrote about and what your book's about.
Okay. So we're talking about sacred soul love. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I also have sacred soul spaces, which is about the stuff we talked about earlier.
But yes. Yes.
So my second book is Sacred Soul Love, Manifesting True Love and Happiness by Revealing and Healing Blockages and Limitations. So it's a long name, but basically the whole point of the book is accessing your self-love. And for me, I went through a series of toxic relationships, and including two ex-husbands. The first one, very, very toxic and abusive. The second one, just, he was not my person and didn't have the respect, you know, some control issues, things like that. And so after going through that and having two children, I'm just like, okay, I got to stop this. I am not being a good role model for my kids. I'm not happy. I'm not healthy in myself. And I am the common denominator with this. So what do I need to do? So I really dug deep and I used so many different tools and modalities to get to some of the root issues of why I kept creating these patterns. And so in doing that, I was able to heal myself. I mean, still, I'm human. Onion peeling always is continually going on. But I did, I really discovered the love I have for myself. And I, you know, there's so much forgiveness that I've been able to do for myself. Mm. Yeah. For the people in my life. And now I can thank them like, oh, you know, we probably set it up before we even came into this life that you were going to help me with that lesson. So thank you. And I love you for it. So I wrote the book with all these different tools and modalities that I did. Now, that doesn't mean that someone has to go through every single one of them to heal themselves. But I am someone, you know, I like to dive deep into myself and do whatever I can do. And I'm a constant learner, you know, in this life. I love learning new things and growing, expanding. And so with being able to do that, then I found the love of my life. So he is my third husband, but final husband. And so it's a relationship that, you know, it's one that I always had dreamed that I would have, you know, with full respect and communication and love and just, and true acceptance. Mm. But I had to love and accept myself first before I could even allow someone to love and accept me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that the truth? You know, that's so beautiful. And it's also so perfect because that's really what the energy of this full moon is today, is really self-love and self-care. And Susan, hello and welcome to the show. She said, looking at her chart is like looking at tax papers. She said her head is starting to hurt.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I love it so much. Well, your book sounds amazing. What are some of the, if you were to touch on some of the modalities, like what are some of those that you use to heal yourself?
Well, so a big one that that I did, it was actually a process with my cousin, was we did an ancestral healing of our bloodline because mm-hmm. the self-love issue, it turns out that that was generations, like at least 14 generations of no self-love. And mm-hmm. carrying that epigenetically, you know, through the lineage. And so I took her through the process. And how we discovered this is that our family, our moms, that side of the family has a history of heart disease. Heart disease, you know, has to do with self-love. So my granddaddy, he died when he was 65 of heart problems, heart attack and stroke. My uncle Randy, he died at 65, same problems. My mother had a heart attack at 65 and my aunt had a heart attack at 65.
Wow.
Now, so there's all in the month of September. So,
oh, wow.
We're not sure what that means, but there's something with 65 in September, but
wow.
So my cousin and I are like, oh my God. Her mom was the youngest one at this point to be in the hospital, and she was out visiting, and she's like, what are we going to do about this? I'm like, okay, we're going to work together. And so she is my cousin that, you know, does the path. She'll do the woo-woo stuff with me. So I regressed her and we did this ancestral healing. We got to the root ancestor, which happened to be this like tough Viking guy. We didn't even we had no clue that we might have a Viking lineage as part of our family. I mean, we have, you know, the English and the French and German and things like that. But we were like, okay, it's, she's like, it's a Viking for sure. And so anyway, so we went through this process of infusing love into him. And then, and we had other ancestors that were there and just really infusing love into them in their childlike state. And so then what that does is coming back out of it, then it can heal the entire lineage. Mm. And interesting is, so we did that probably 4 years ago. And I did my ancestry DNA, and because I was just curious, and there actually was Viking, like, that area.
Wow. No clue. So, wow, that's so cool.
It was kind of like, oh, there's confirmation right there. So anyway, that ancestral healing was extremely powerful. But, and then also looking at what ailments do you have in the body? Because our physical ailments in our body tell us what is going on up here.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is just an outward expression of our minds. And so looking at different health history of things that I have had, like I had a lot of different illnesses as a child. And so looking at what the meanings of those are through Louise Hay's work and Ina Segal's work. I love Ina Segal's the secret of your body, or secret language mm-hmm. of your body.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, so deciphering what those issues are so that then you can be like, oh, that's something I need to work on, you know, and even just knowing it and acknowledging it can heal it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It can be super fast. It doesn't have to be a long drawn out process.
Yep. So true. Oh, so let's talk about regression therapy a little bit, since that's part of what you were doing, you know, and it's something that you do guide people through. And I love regressions and have done those also in my own work with clients. And so I'm just curious, what are your thoughts on regression therapy in this day and age? Like, what do you think about it now?
Well, so for me, there is no past, there is no future, there's just the now. Mm-hmm. So we call it past life, but it's, you know, all lifetimes are existing simultaneously and we can jump around. So it's, you know, so that I just want to share that with you and your audience.
So I'm on the same bus with you. So
I knew you were. So, but so what happens in the regression, the way that I work with the clients is that, you know, whatever comes up, you know, it could be the past. It could be like some, like, oh, I had one client, we went to Mars where there was a child slavery colony. And that was the mm-hmm. lifetime we went to. And she felt like it was maybe 500 years in the future. And anyway, so whatever the life is, it doesn't really matter. We can get information out of that. And the way that I like working with people is that if there is a blockage or limitation that we happen upon, then the client has a choice. They can change that situation altogether, because it's a movie, right? Playing in their mind or a vision that they're seeing. Mm-hmm. So they can change it altogether. They can change the meaning of it so that, you know, they can still have it happen the same way, but then just have a different perception of what it means. And so they get the choice of what they want to do. And so by doing that, in that quantum state, because when you're regressed, you really are at that quantum level. Mm-hmm. And so when you come back into this presence, then what it does is it starts to rewire the brain to that new reality that you've changed it to. So that's how I like working with clients. It's not, you know, it can be fun, just like, oh, who was I in a past life, or who, you know, but I like using it as a healing tool. Or I have had clients come because they want to reveal talents, skills, and abilities that they know are buried deep inside, because we do have latent things hidden.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can access those things too. We can go to a life, a timeline slice where that exists, and then pull that back forward to this mm-hmm. life.
I love that. I love yeah. that.
How do you work with your clients with regression?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. Very, very similar. I mean, I think for me, it's the same. It's like everything, it's really just accessing a different consciousness. And so it's very similar. I prefer to, I do a lot of Tibetan soul retrieval. So in the bone tradition and Tibetan shamanism, it's all about the five elements. So when you go back into, or go, I hate to say even go back, but when you go into another life experience in some kind of regression or journey, you're really looking at the emotional state and how that relates to the elements. And then you're drawing those elements into your regular life to complete the healing. So if you're very anxious and stressed in this life, it's a lot of wind and ether. If you regress to a space where that's coming from, you can retrieve soul fragments from that space, but then you also do work in this linear reality to offset that ether. So there's like a balancing of the elements. So it's interesting you bring up the I Ching. I haven't done I Ching in a really long time, but for probably 6 or 7 years, I used this deck. It's called the Tao Oracle. Okay. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. You will love it. Oh my God, Lisa, you will love it. You will so love it. The Tao Oracle is an oracle card deck, but you, once you do the spread, you I Ching the cards and it tells you different meanings based on where you're at in that cycle of that card. So it's really incredible. So I became like this super I Chinger because I was like using these cards all the time, but it was really cool because it would show you like the movement of the card. And this is even making me think there's an astrologer, Dr. Jennifer Fried, who's using the movement of the planets in that same way. So it probably all works together. It's probably a whole other analytical rabbit hole. But anyways, it's a really beautiful deck. And so I love the I Ching and love what that has to say. And so the point of that is that deck actually worked with the elements. So that was kind of my gateway into this deeper practice with the elements. So it's very, very, I mean, it's basically what you do also. It's just a different language to it, but it's the same concept, you know, it's just working with the elemental patterns of your life also, which ties into what you're saying with the spaces too, because you have to bring in those different spaces, you know, you have to bring in the elements in your space. And sometimes you get too heavy in a particular element, which then creates that emotion and then it brings stuff up. So, so that's what I do too. So it's really just accessing. And then I do practice a lot of soul retrieval. So completing a healing in the regression so that when you come out of it, you've actually brought that portion back into yourself. In the Tibetan practice, you know, we're all fragmented. I'm sure this is the same for you, Lisa, but we're all fragmented having these different reality experiences. And it's bringing those fragments back and combining yourself back into the present moment. So it's about bringing all that back. And that's the process of self-realization in those terms anyways. So that's what it's about.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for sharing that with me.
Oh, thanks for asking. I love it. I love it. I want to give some space here before our time is up already. It's amazing to me how fast time flies in here. But what is 2021 bringing for you? You moved to Hawaii. I'm so jealous. I can literally, this is really weird and I apologize to the audience, but like I lived on Maui for a year and the islands, just so you know, Lisa, like I was very, I was so blessed. My parents took us there several times when I was a kid. So I have a real strong connection to the island and have been there many times. And anyways, I can literally feel the island. I can actually smell the ocean and like the dirt, like where you're at, just talking to you. It's like the weirdest thing. I'm like, oh my God, I'm like sucked in. I'm like, I want to go to my ABC store right now and get my macadamia nuts. Like, oh my God, I've got to go there so bad. Anyway, it's so just
crazy. Give me your address and I'll send you some.
Oh my gosh. So true. Oh my God. That's so true. Yeah. I mean, there's just, it's just so great. But anyway, so now you're in Hawaii.
Yes.
And you're in this beautiful place, and it's so healing and so profound. I had the most profound healing of my life there, and that's saying a lot because I've had many. But what are you doing now, 2021? What does that mean for you? What does it mean for, you know, your work? Like, what are you focusing on this year? What's your mission?
So the biggest thing that I want to do this year is create my first destination retreat. I had plans for retreats last year in Bali and Thailand that both got canceled due to COVID. And I still don't feel like my tribe is ready to travel to foreign countries yet, but hopefully by the fall, they're willing to travel to Hawaii.
Yeah.
I'm going to put together a 6-day, or I have put together a 6-day retreat here in Kona. It's going to be a combination of eco-adventure and spiritual, going deep within and really connecting with the island and Goddess Pele and Goddess Namaka, and just like fully embracing everything that this island has to offer, including the manta rays. So that's actually, the manta rays are what brought me here specifically. They called to me and were like, you have to come live with us.
Oh, I love that.
So yeah, so for fall, that's the big project that I'm working on is the Kona retreat. And then I'm also creating some VIP days and little personal retreats as well for people that don't want the full 6 days or they want my individual attention.
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh my God, I'm gonna have to sign up, girl. I'm like so ready to go. I almost went this month with my husband, and then I was like, ooh, I felt like I needed to wait until after April. I just feel, for me anyways, energetically, it felt like I should wait. But how does everyone get a hold of you? I know it's in the show notes, but we're gonna say it anyways. But how do they get a hold of you? What are some of the things that you're offering? I know you kind of talked about all of this, but just to kind of recap for everybody who's listening.
So my website is www.drlisajthompson.com. So the J stands for Jane. Dr. Lisa Thompson was already taken, so it's too common of a name. DrLisaJThompson.com. And in 2 weeks from today, I start teaching a 4-week online human design class that's going to be taught on Zoom. And for people who can't catch it live, it will be recorded and you can always watch the replay. We have a private Facebook group for questions and community. And so I'm really excited to teach that. And I'm trying to keep the price really low and accessible because that information, it's changed my life. And so I want to share that with the world. And so that's the next class I have coming up. But I also work with clients to do the sacred soul space design, like we talked about, past life regression, human design, and general life, love, and soul coaching, working with who you are designed to be. So I definitely, in my coaching, I bring in the human design because I want to coach from where you are specifically, not just who I think you should be.
I love it. Go ahead.
The newest thing, I have a whole jewelry line as well. And talk about beautiful manifestation and timing. There's a store that's opening here in Kona in February that all my products, my oracle decks, my books, and my jewelry are going to be featured in on my website. So, yeah.
Oh, that's.
Lisa, did I break up or are you breaking up? Lisa?
Yeah, I froze. I'm back, I hope.
Each one of us froze. My internet, we had to bump it up.
Yesterday. Oh, I know. Well, it's this month, man. I'm telling you, January has been a rough one for that. But anyways, I love you so much. It's been an honor having you on the show. I hope you come back again, please. Yes. And I'm going to have to come visit you in Hawaii at some point. And thank you so much for being here. And thank you to everybody who's been watching and listening. It's just such a great full moon. Like, what a great thing to do on our full moon.
It's beautiful. And then now, because it's not even 4:00 my time, I'm going to go to a full moon ceremony with some new
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh my gosh. Well, I love you so much. And thank you to everybody who's watching also, and have an amazing, amazing night. We're back next week. We're back with Satyam on Tuesday. We have another Diamond Beauty Thursday night, and Delisa Hocking and I have our brand new morning show starting next Thursday. So you guys can join us for that as well. So thank you guys, and have an amazing, amazing night. Thank you, Lisa, so much.
Thank you.